Hello and welcome to You Really Shouldn't Have, with me, James Warwick, the podcast where each week I sit down with a different guest as we discuss their career and unwrap a story behind the worst gift they've ever been given. Joining me on this week's episode is fashion designer Philip Block. Philip started his career as a model, working for the likes of Jean-Paul Gaultier and Italian Vogue, and then moved on to become a Hollywood fashion stylist, having dressed the likes of Jennifer Lopez, Will Smith and Sandra Bullock for appearances at the Oscars. He joined me as we sat down to discuss his incredible career, and of course, he let me in on the worst gift he's ever been given. Philip, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you. Great to be here. Well, I'm here, but great to be there too.
Absolutely. Now, I wanted to go right back to the start. And you grew up in Long Island. And I wondered, what was childhood like? And was fashion and design always an interest from an early age?
Yeah, I grew up in Long Island, and it's not a very fashionable place. But you're right next to New York City, which is a fashion mecca. So that was really interesting to grow up so close, but so far. I did always love fashion. My corduroy pants were my corduroy jeans, Wrangler and Levi's were all in color order in my closet. My plaid flannel shirts were all in color order in my closet. And then everything else was on the floor about 6 feet deep.
A floor drobe, as they say.
Yeah, the floor drobe, exactly. I'm a big fan of the floor drobe. When I was a kid, now not so much. Well, I still do it a little bit. I pick it up the next morning. I like to take my clothes off and leave them on the floor. It's kind of sexy. So I saw Diana Ross in the movie Mahogany, and that changed my life. That's how I started in fashion. I was like, she was like this model and a designer, and she went to Rome and she became this famous model, and she met all these rich, fabulous people and had an amazing life until it got crazy. And I was like, oh my God, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go do that. This is my way out of here.
Now, I know you started your career as a model before you went into design and styling. And I know you worked with the likes of Jean-Paul Gaultier. And I know you spent a lot of time in Europe as well. So I wonder what your major memories from that time were.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that. All that. You know, I lived in London. I started in London modeling. I was there like about a year around the time Princess Diana married Prince Charles. And it was very exciting because I was like on the cover of all the magazines in London for the teen boy magazines. They had a Oh Boy and Love Affair and Mates. And do you know those magazines? Are you British?
I am British. Yeah, I am aware of those ones. I remember. Say it again.
That's not a fake accent?
Not a fake accent. No, very much. I'm about 45 minutes from London.
Okay, good. Because I hear the Brits do really well on American TV. So I just thought you might be acting.
No, not me. No.
Well, anyway, then you must have seen my Oh Boy and my Love Affair and Mates covers, I'm sure. They were at the same time as Princess Diana was on all the magazines. So that was a really cool experience. And I just think working with designers like John Galliano and working for Saint Laurent and doing fashion shows in Paris and Jean-Charles Castelbajac in London with John Galliano, like I said, and Hyper, and oh my God, all the just cool brands in London. Very exciting to be a part of all that. And then as in Italy, working with Italian Vogue, I worked for Italian Vogue a lot in Italy, which was very gratifying. You know, I mean, it's a tough business. It wasn't easy, but you feel like, wow, I did something. I'm validated. It's very validating. And I'll tell you something. I take it with me everywhere I go. I've had a lot of success in my careers and not to brag, but I've been on like People Magazine's 50 Hottest Bachelor list. I've been in Vanity Fair and all the different Vogues have written about me. But I have to say, like, being a model and that little validation, now people are always like, I feel fat, I feel skinny, I feel this, I feel that. And everybody's kind of insecure, you know? Even the handsomest have these. I really feel like it kind of takes away a lot of that. If you don't like me, I don't really care because I've been in Italian Vogue. I know I'm hot.
Fantastic. I wanted to touch on your work as a stylist. And I wondered, like, sort of day to day, when you were given a brief, what did that process then look like for you?
Sheer and utter panic. Oh my God, you want what? How long? What? No. What? No, no, okay. That's what it looked like. Very fast process. You know, I knew my research. I know who's who and I know what they look like and I know what I like as designers. And you sort of know the different designers and you're always looking for new talent. And new people that are interested in playing the game, so to speak, because it's a game. Fashion's a game. It's all very set up and it's all a little power play. The Emperor's New Clothes, definitely the Emperor's New Clothes, a lot of the Emperor's New Clothes. And, you know, I think fashion people are a lot of fashion people are very shallow. Some are very nice. Some are very spiritual. Some are very cool. I have a lot of very cool, spiritual, fun, successful friends. And I have a lot of people I know that are just kind of petty and they're jealous and they're insecure. And I think a lot of people use fashion as a crutch. And some like it because, like, I love beautiful dresses. I'm not wearing them, but I love beautiful dresses. I love it as an art form. I love to see chiffon flowing. There's nothing more beautiful for me than Cindy Crawford in a chiffon flowing dress by a beach or something. You know what I mean? Like, it happens for me there, you know? Vanessa Williams, I don't know, you know, I mean, some Elizabeth Hurley, you know, Elizabeth Hurley in a safety pin dress still gets me excited.
Because I'm going to assume people are quite quick to think that everything is glamorous all of the time. But, you know, I'm sure that a lot of work goes in behind the scenes to creating the final piece that ends up in the magazines. But maybe people don't know that exact process.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's a lot of opinions, a lot of egos, a lot of creativity. Not as much creativity these days. I mean, sadly, you know, it's about the money. These days, it's very tough. You know, the magazines don't really pay. There's not a lot of budgets anymore. And it costs money to make photo shoots. People need to be paid. It takes days to get the clothes and to be sent. Somebody's got to pay for the FedEx and the shipping costs of the clothes from here to there. And, you know, the time of the people doing the work. I have to call. I have to pick the designers. They have to call me back. We have to send the emails. We got to say what they have. I have to ask what I'm looking for. It's a lot of time and energy involved. And it doesn't just happen 1, 2, 3. You know, I think it's important to understand it's a lot of thought and time goes into it. But now I think budget really hampers a lot of the creativity and the ability to create some real glamour and magic.
You've styled a number of celebrities. I mean, Will Smith and Jennifer Lopez, to name but a few. I wondered, when you have a celebrity client that maybe has an already established style or look, does that make your job easier or does it make it more difficult because you think, I've got to still find something unique that's different but still fits that style?
Well, I've styled Jennifer, J-Lo, since before she had a style. So, yeah, you know, I did her first wedding. I did Selena and all the first premieres. Her first time at the Oscars, the same thing with Selma Hayek. You know, I mean, like, Selma was like, oh, I don't know if I should wear this tiara to the Oscars. People might think I'm a princess. I want them to think I'm a princess. I'm like, wear the tiara, become a legend. And it worked. You know, I think I did it in a simpler time where even those big stars were just coming. I came to Hollywood at the same time as Will, Jada, Selma, Nicole Kidman, Renee Zellweger. Renee came a little later than the rest of us. J-Lo, Sandy Bullock, Meg Ryan. Meg had been there a few years before us. Sandy came about the same time. Angela Bassett. Angela came just a year or two before us. You know, all of us came to Hollywood in the same. Cameron Diaz. Oh, my God. You know, Cameron and Jim Carrey, Lauren Holly. We all were there around the same time, even Elizabeth Hurley and them in that late 90s, early 2000s. And I think it was great to start their images and to start that business. Nobody really cared about fashion in Hollywood before then. And I sort of brought back that old Hollywood glamour, but I made it new and fresh and cool. And like Jada would say, I'm going to the Oscars. I don't want to look like my grandmother in a old beaded dress. And that's when we put her in the cutoff green mesh Versace dress, you know, and everybody remembers that. You know, I think it was easier to make a fashion moment back in those times. But to the answer, the other part of your question, it's very hard to dress somebody not known. The designers have to want to do it. You have to have a great relationship with the designer so they'll lend it. And I worked as the first editor at Vibe magazine back in the early 90s, and they wouldn't loan clothes to Black people. I mean, throughout my whole career, I've had companies say, no, oh, well, Black people don't buy clothes. Oh, hip hop really isn't fashion. And, you know, that was the 90s. Now, obviously, it's a whole different story. But still, you know, they like what they like. There's code all over the place. You know, there's oftentimes we're told, oh, what day are you shooting? On Wednesday? Oh, we won't get the dress back till Thursday. Oh, Vogue has the dress. We'll get it back next week. Or they'll call us, like when you leave the message on the machine, oh, I'm shooting with Kerry Washington or Regina King. Like a couple of years ago before Kerry was a big, big star, or Regina King, you know, or Vivica Fox, they would say no to us. And they'd say, oh, what day are you shooting Wednesday? Oh, they call you back on Thursday. say, oh, I got your message. I'm sorry. We didn't have anything in now. But next time when you're working with Sandy Bullock, call me. When you're working with Meg Ryan, call me. You know, when you're working with your white clients, please call us. And I've seen it through my entire career, and I don't blame it on the designers a lot of times. It's the PR people. It's the gatekeepers. You know, they're the ones with the problem. The designers are usually really nice. And I definitely have knocked through a few gates. And, you know, at Vibe, when it happened, I called Mark Jacobs, and he was at Perry Ellis at the time. And I was like, Mark, I'm at Vibe, you know, Quincy Jones' new magazine, and Jonathan Van Meter and all of us are here, Emil Wilbekin, and you know, we're putting this magazine together, and a tip, he's like, oh my God, I love hip hop. Oh, this is so great. Cool. What can I do to help? I said, well, can you believe Ralph, Tommy, Calvin, they won't give me clothes. He's like, what? What do you mean? Come get whatever you want. And that was in the grunge period. So that was really great. He helped us out a lot, but you know, sometimes you got to break down the doors, and sometimes as an ally, it's important. I've always fought kind of for diversity and inclusion. Absolutely. I think I've always been very important.
It's shocking you say that, though, because if you think back to the 90s, there was that huge fashion movement within hip-hop culture. So it's shocking that you tell me that story.
Baby, I'm talking 2016. They wouldn't lend me clothes for Mary J. Blige from Balmain and Balenciaga. Oh, you know, we're working with someone else, the American Music Awards. She's not really our vibe. Oh, you know, blah, blah. 2016, Mary J. Blige, the queen of hip-hop and cool. Such a fashion girl and an Academy Award nominated actress. Hello. She wasn't then. And Michael Jackson, I shot Michael in, you know, the last photo shoots back in, oh my gosh, I forget what year it was, but it was a while ago. And we had a very hard time getting clothes from Dolce & Gabbana for Michael, from Alexander McQueen. I went to Bergdorf's. I bought all the stuff. I shot it. Gave them the cover. I sent them the magazine. Said, congratulations. Thanks for your help. And I returned the clothes to Bergdorf. Sent the stuff to the magazines. Thanks for your help, even though they wouldn't send me clothes. Like Dolce said, oh no, Michael's not us. Da, da, da. I sent them the cover and said, thank you for your help. I went and bought, I'm doing the cover. Whether you're going to do it or not, I'm doing the cover. And if I need your clothes, I'm going to go buy them and put them on there and do it. You know, I don't like to do things like that, but the racism is just ridiculous. And I think I've been certain places in my career that I don't have to tolerate that. And as an ally and somebody who believes in integrity, I think it's important to put my foot down to a lot of that.
And I think it's great that you're using platforms to be able to call that kind of behavior out as well, because I had no idea that even went on.
Yeah, it's, you know, again, you have to realize there's a pecking order. And, you know, it's so interesting. We've seen a lot with Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka lately about press. The one thing I will say is this is a business at the end of the day. And there are rules in place. There are standards. And yes, you have to take care of yourself, but you know, I think it's really important that there is a job, you know, everybody has to work with integrity. And sometimes you got to suck it up when you're in a bad mood. And sometimes you have to do things that you don't love, but because it's good for the brand. I think people let their egos get way in the way of a lot of the entertainment, sports, music field, fashion field now, as opposed to what's the right thing and standing up, you know, and being proud. And sometimes you have to do what you don't want to do or what you're too tired to do. I'm very offended by people that are suffering because of work. You know, work is tough. You can suffer from it. I'm not saying that. A lot of us suffer from PTSD. I had PTSD from Hollywood for sure. And that's the truth. I'm not even making a joke. But I think a lot of times you do have to take care of yourself. But, you know, you make commitments and you have to stand up and you have to do the right thing in life. You know, and sometimes it's not comfortable.
Now, Philip, we've reached the part of the show where I have to ask you, what is the worst gift you've ever been given?
Oh, my gosh. It has to be my parents. Not that my parents weren't the worst gift, although that's a whole nother story. Are you a therapist?
I'm not a trained therapist. If you're coming to me for self-help, don't come to me. You're on the wrong show.
Then I won't put my parents in there. But my parents used to, I would tell my parents, I want a fringe suede cowboy jacket. But I want the long fringe. I want the 3-inch fringe. I want it thin. I want it this big. I want it in this color. And they would get me the cowboy jacket with the short fringe and the thick short fringe because it was cheaper and they didn't know the difference. And then I wouldn't wear it. And then I wanted a camel hair coat. I want a camel car coat. I couldn't even drive. I couldn't even ride a bicycle. I want a camel car coat. And I wanted it from Robert Hall. Of course, they got it from like somewhere else cheap and I wouldn't wear it. They got from like Corvettes. So I'm like, I'm not wearing it. And my father So my father, over all the years, ended up taking my coats that they would buy me that I wouldn't wear, and he would wear them for the rest of my life till nearly when he died. He would be like, someone say, oh, I like that coat, Richard. And he'd say, oh, this was Philip's coat. And he would tell the story of how it was never right and they couldn't please me, but he wore it. He didn't care. He wore bad coats.
Incredible.
I love my dad, but he wore bad coats.
You touched on Michael briefly, Philip, and I've spoken to a lot of people on this podcast that had the pleasure of working with Michael Jackson. So I wondered what your experience was with working with Michael.
Adorable, very sweet, very nice. Asked a lot of questions. It was sad, you know. I mean, I think he was frail. He was thin. I had a couple day experience with him, so it was really, you know, my days with Michael. It was very sweet, and Blanket was with us. I think he really enjoyed his experience. My goal as a celebrity stylist is, when I do that job, or when I work as a designer, is to make people feel better than they do normally and look better than they do normally. You should look good, but better. And that's my goal. That's my job. That's my task. And I feel I did that with Michael. And, you know, the covers are legendary. They were his last photo shoots. There's a documentary film about them. Last cover shoot with Michael Jackson. He shot an Italian Vogue, and then he shot the Ebony cover, and then he shot the Jet cover with us all right in a row. And we shot at the Brooklyn Museum. It was really amazing. When you're Michael Jackson, they shut down the museum for you. And we did the photo shoot there way into the night. We were there from, they started loading in at, you know, crack of dawn, and we were there till crack of dawn loading out. It was very, you know, and you just walk out of an experience like that, sweating, exhausted, tired, exhilarated. It's just, it's like everything. It's like a wedding day. You know what I mean? I don't even know what you could describe it to. It's like graduation day, or, you know, you're just stressed and yet you're happy, elated. I mean, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work putting something like that together. But it's nice to work with legends and work with icons and create images that tell their story. I've always been a storyteller.
I wanted to move back a little bit earlier in your career to touch on your TV show, A Cool Celeb with Philip Block, because I know you interviewed a number of celebrities around their charity work, wasn't it? And you worked with some big people. I mean, Chaka Khan, Carmelo Anthony, Steve Harvey, to name just a few. What was that experience like? That must have been quite something.
Extraordinary. I think that's probably my favorite job, honestly, of all the things I've done. I feel like I was doing something good for the planet, for the world. I felt like I was learning every day. I was, you know, in researching the people and their charities. It was so extraordinary. That was, if I could do it again, I would do it again. I felt very lucky. It was right. I worked for ABC News as a correspondent regularly. I did a lot of their Oscar and fashion coverage. And when the wedding, the royal wedding with Kate and William,
yep.
They called me in. There was one of the anchors was stuck. There was a snowstorm in New York, or a big storm that night, that one of the anchors couldn't get in. They called me to come in right away. They're like, can you be here in a half hour? We're going live and we want you to anchor. And I was supposed to be on the show, but I was supposed to come in like an hour or two later, whatever. So they had me come in. I ended up anchoring the show, which was huge. And again, it was international. It's ABC News now. It was international. That channel doesn't exist anymore, but at one point it was ABC's CNN, basically. Uh-huh. And I knew so much. I had so much information about Princess Grace and different. And I knew that I knew who was doing the dress. I had figured it out the day before, and I guessed it right. And I was talking about all this stuff, and I was so on target. And the head producer, the executive producer of ABC, took us all to lunch and to congratulate us on, because it was like a 4 or 5 hour wedding. I mean, from American, it was crack of dawn. It was like 4 or 5 in the morning, and it was hard work. And they took us to congratulate us and thank us all. And they said, wow, you were really good. What would you like to do? And that's when I said, I'd like to do a show about celebrities and their charities. And I'm like, you got it. So nice. It's so interesting. It's like that Hollywood thing that never happens. It happens. It happens. You know, I mean, it doesn't happen often in your career that a moment like that happens where you do good. Someone says, oh my God, you're so amazing. What can we do for you? And it's an executive from the network that has the power to give you a show, a small little thing like a show. And I worked my butt off on it. And unfortunately, the network changed over time because streaming came in bigger and blah, blah, blah. And the executive producer then left and my show was done. But great. Chaka Khan, phenomenal story. You know, like, she's this world-class singer, performer for decades, but she has this whole interesting story with the Black Panthers. She grew up with the Black Panthers and feeding people in San Francisco, and she has a son that, you know, was convicted of murder. I mean, as a mother, it's just a tragic story. Andy McDowell, we talked about her mom becoming an alcoholic and having self-addiction problems in the 70s, as my mother had. And, you know, you find a little bit of yourself in everybody when you interview people. I think, I'm sure you and I can relate on a lot of levels, other than Michael Jackson and Halle Berry. But, you know, I think there's a little bit of each of us in each of us. And I think that show allowed me to show that celebrities are human beings and they have a personal side too. And, I got to interview a lot of people that I worked a lot with, like Denise Richards was married to Charlie Sheen, and we worked together through that whole period. So we got to talk about what was it like having three people in the marriage, Denise, Charlie, and the drugs.
Yes.
And, you know, she was very candid about it. And me, so I was the fourth one in that relationship. They split custody of me. And I interviewed Martin Sheen and his brother Emilio Estevez. His father and the brother did a movie together about the walk in Barcelona, outside of Barcelona. It was the Camino, El Camino. And funny, I never interviewed Charlie, but I did his wife and his brother and his father. But I worked with Charlie for years. So that best experience of my life. Everybody should have their own talk show. I guess they do now.
Now, two questions to wrap up, which I ask everybody, is if you could go right back to your childhood and rescue a gift you don't have now, what would you go and rescue?
That's a hard one because I have my stuffed monkey, Judy. Friend Walter and I have a same stuffed monkey. We both got it in our childhood. How funny is that to find a friend later in your life, the nanny, and I have the same stuffed monkey. Mine's called Judy. Hers is. But Judy goes with me pretty much everywhere. Gosh, I really don't know. I mean, I the gift of innocence.
That's nice. That's nice. You can have that. You can have that. And if you could go right back to the beginning of your career and give yourself a gift to help to get where you are now, what gift would you give yourself?
Wow. You know, maybe I'm going to just say the first thing that came to my head. I would probably sing myself that song from Mary Tyler Moore. Remember the Mary Tyler Moore show? You can turn the world on with your smile. You can take a nothing day and certainly make it all seem worthwhile. Well, it's you, girl, and you should know it. With each glance and every little movement, you know it. Love is all around. No need to fake it. You can have the town. Why don't you take it? You're going to make it after all.
There we go. It's yours.
How about that?
The song is yours. You can have it.
I'm going to share that with Mary Tyler Moore. I that was so funny. I had no answer there. I didn't know you were going to ask that, but that like just came into my head. And I was like, damn, that would be a great message to give to yourself. You're going to make it.
That's the one.
Just smile, keep doing it, and you're going to make it.
Philip, where can people find out more about you and what you do?
They should check out my new clothing line that's coming out in the next month or two. Called God Stuff by Philip Block. My Instagram handle is Philip Block, and two L's, and on my Facebook, TikTok, all that stuff. We have God Stuff and my stuff on all of them. They're coming. Some of them are coming. Some of them are in the middle of being developed. The launch for the clothing company is in September, so you're kind of hearing about it first right now. It's just starting.
Philip, it's been great to speak to you. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of You Really Shouldn't Have. Be sure to subscribe to us on your chosen podcast service to make sure you never miss another episode. You can find us on both Twitter and Instagram at Bad Gifts Pod, as well as online at badgiftspod.com.